Good morning, everyone, and welcome to FPC Radio Live. It is November the 25th, 2022, the day after Thanksgiving, and a bit surprising considering what we've been getting on Thursday all season. We got three really good, entertaining games yesterday with a lot of implications, John. That was the other thing. This wasn't just the Lions and, like, the Bears, and it's like, oh, okay, great tradition, yada, yada, yada. No, these games actually had meaning, including the one with the Lions in it, and they certainly gave the Bills all they could handle yesterday.
You looked at going into these games, Ian, you had six teams playing. As of yesterday, five of them were in the playoffs, and the sixth team, Detroit, had a three-game winning streak and was playing very competitively, and they continued to play competitively yesterday. So, yeah, it set up that they were very intriguing. The Giants hadn't played on Thanksgiving in Dallas in like 30 years, which seems kind of strange since they're in the same division. So, yeah, you got three really good games with big implications. As you said, now you got Buffalo in better shape than they were yesterday. Patriots not as good a shape as they were going into yesterday. And the Giants, I wouldn't say they're in a free-for-all, but, you know, they're taking on water, to say the least.
You know, when it comes to the Patriots standing-wise, yes, I agree with you, but I think there was a lot of positives to be taken out of that game. Now, I know people, and there's a lot of reason to have issues with some of the officiating yesterday. It was very, I'm not going to say it was one-sided, but certainly the some of the calls against the Patriots were less than ideal, or, you know, most specifically, that non-touchdown catch to Hunter Henry, which I think the more I see of it, the more I watch it, the more replay and images that we get from it, it looked like a very clear touchdown to me, and it's kind of hard, especially when you consider, and a lot of people have shared this, that the play to Travis Kelce against the Colts, same exact situation. The ball clearly comes out of his hands, but it was ruled a touchdown. So the NFL, nearly a decade or more than a decade after the Dez Bryant catch, no catch, still have no earthly idea how to call those things. But from a what can you take away from it standpoint, there were a lot of positives. I thought Mac Jones played his best game of the season. Very reminiscent of that game last year against Dallas where he was aggressive, decisive, and moving the ball. Now, again, it can't just happen 1 week and then go away. You need to build off this and kind of continue to push it because I know the defense struggled against a very good team, John. I mean, let's be real. I mean, the Vikings, we've talked about them for a while. They had the hiccup against Dallas last week, but this isn't just a pushover team. They're a pretty good team. So you went up against them. You went up against arguably the best wide receiver in football. I mean, the more you see of Justin Jefferson, it's harder and harder to deny that he's at least, at the very least, among the league's very best because, you know, he just goes up and does things. It doesn't matter. I mean, some of those catches he made, the coverage was phenomenal. I mean, what can you do about it? You just tip your hat and say, okay, you know, we'll try to get you next time. Now, again, the Patriots didn't play perfectly, and there were more mental errors that contributed to the loss than the officiating. Because I look to, first off, the first couple drives outside of the first drive, you only failed to get 3 points off of turnovers. And that's something that's plagued this Patriots team for a while, not being able to capitalize on those turnovers. Only and at best getting 3 points, John. And we know in the era of Tom Brady, you don't turn the ball over because more often than not, 9 times out of 10, they're putting 7 on the board off that turnover. And that's just something the Patriots lack right now. And we saw that again yesterday. And like I said, mental errors, like the running into the punter, although I'll give the punter right credit. He might be rivaling Daniel Day-Lewis in terms of greatest actor, in our opinion, because that especially that second one that fortunately was not called was a laughable flop. But hey, you know, you do what you got to do in this league to get the calls. But Hunter Henry not running out of bounds at the end of the second half when he was just right on the sidelines. You got to know the situation there. You got to run out of play because that cost you a play. And considering where they ended up, that was a very crucial thing. And then you can even, you know, not, you know, give Mac Jones a little slack for not throwing the ball out of bounds a couple plays later. Once again, wasting timeouts, losing time on the clock, and essentially losing plays and opportunities to put the ball in the end zone and greatly reducing your options when it comes to what you can do down there. So, I look at it and I say, okay, yeah, the officiating was terrible, and you're not going to convince me that that Hunter Henry pass was not a touchdown. They missed a very bad holding call on the punt return or the kickoff return, which, again, I mean, we're talking about two plays that you're talking about 11-point swing right there, essentially, because the Patriots ultimately did get a field goal off that play. So that's disappointing, but when it comes to how I view this team, the offense showed me something. It showed me that Mac Jones is capable of playing not safe, not protective football. And it kind of showed us a little bit of what we saw last year out of him that kind of got us excited about what year two would bring. If they can manage to put both together, and I'm talking about defensive performance and a offensive performance like we saw yesterday, they're going to be a very tough team, a very tough team to play. And like I said, there's a lot of positives for this team moving forward, not just this year, but next.
Yeah, that was Mac Jones' best performance of the year, maybe of his career when you think about it, because even in the Dallas game, he had a pick six.
Yeah.
The play before he threw that long touchdown pass to Kendrick Bourne, which, you know, last year may have been the most exciting game of the year when they played the Cowboys in Foxborough.
I was standing in front of a bar in Las Vegas watching that game. I remember it.
Yeah, no, it was a very, very entertaining game. So you look at what Mac Jones did last night, that's a positive. You know, they kind of just abandoned the run game because they couldn't run the football, which is the smart thing to do. If you can't run it, you know, let's go by.
Look, they were using play action very well.
I mean, he's good at that.
And that's the thing. I confuse myself because some of the things I see the Patriots doing are the same things that we're complaining about when it comes to Brady and the Bucs offense. Like, why aren't you using play action more? Well, the Patriots used play action fairly well, especially early on. I mean, those first few drives, it was kind of really littered in a lot. And I think there were, you know, the end around to Bourne, I think you just need to trash it because that play just never, or the double reverse to Bourne just never works. I like the idea, don't get me wrong. I thought their play calling was pretty good yesterday. Again, like I said, we can sit here and blame the officiating, and I think you'd have a legitimate gripe and legitimate issue with it. But at the end of the day, I think there was just too many mental errors on part of both sides of the ball. I mean, look, it's a tough assignment to contain Justin Jefferson. But, you know, a couple of mishaps here and there, and he really is going to make you pay. And then, like I said, on offense, you know, you got to run out of bounds, preserve the time. The obviously running into the punter, that was huge. I mean, that was a huge swing right there. I mean, more specifically in the second half where, you know, despite the great drive to start the half and the unfortunate kick return, you were kind of keeping yourself right into it and weathering that storm. You run into the punter, and that kind of just goes all out the window. And that's really when the game kind of got out of the Patriots' reach. So there are positives, and, you know, we're not, you know, talking about moral victories here or anything like that, but realistically, there were things that you saw that you can really look and say, look, this team can build off of it. And based on really, John, what we've seen across the league, they're not, I mean, you're going to talk about some of the better teams, maybe those tier two or tier three teams. Patriots are right in the thick of it, because this isn't like they're just falling short of what other teams are doing. No, I mean, this is kind of what the league is this year. And yeah, there are teams better than the Patriots, but you're not going to find too many that are head and shoulders above them.
No, I mean, I think they're in that group of teams that, you know, if everything goes right and they win some games, maybe some games that you don't expect them to win, that they can get into the playoffs without question. We know how tough their division is. All four teams in the AFC East are above 500. The Jets are changing quarterbacks this week. Buffalo eked out a win yesterday in Detroit. And, you know, Miami seems to be clicking on all cylinders, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So they're right in there. It was a tough loss because that could have really put you in good stead heading forward down into the final, you know, month and a half of the season. The key thing here is they're 2-1 in the division and they're 5-2 in the conference. So, I mean, if you're picking games that you lose, it's probably, this is kind of an odd statement, but it's better to lose against the NFC teams than the AFC teams.
They have three games against the Bills and Dolphins still.
Right. And so you've got a chance there to see how you know, obviously containing those offenses will not be easy. And we've seen that against good quarterbacks, they've struggled. Well, against the bad quarterbacks, they've done their job against Ellinger and Zach Wilson and the rest of them.
Yesterday, obviously, the points. Look, I mean, sometimes, like I said, you just have to, you know, you just have to chalk it up to, like, look, Justin Jefferson is, again, there are situations, yes, I mean, you could have played a little bit better. I thought Devin McCourty might have been a little bit late on that crossing route there. I think that might have been the go-ahead score. But for the most part, they were very well covered in a lot of these situations, these Vikings receivers, and I think they just made the plays. And obviously, I mean, the 33 points obviously looks bad, but seven of those came from a kick return. So you're talking about the defense giving up 25 points against, a good Vikings team. I mean, they're 8-2, or well, 9-2 now. So it's disappointing, and obviously you'd much rather, if you're the Patriots, come out of there with a win and make things, excuse me, a little bit easier for you. But at the end of the day, you still have, again, three games against two teams that are above you right now in the divisional standings, and certainly that can make up a lot of time there. So before we get to our picks, I'll ask you, we've been talking about it for a couple weeks now. The Giants have plateaued, right? They've mm-hmm. kind of hit their wall. Although, yep. I wasn't overly impressed with Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think, again, we fall into this trap with Dallas every other week. One week they have a great game, you're like, wow, they blew out the Vikings, and then they stink it up. And then Dak Prescott kind of looks like just a guy. I mean, another couple bad intercepts. You know what I mean? Like, just mm-hmm. he seems to turn the ball over a lot more than what I remember. Maybe I'm, again, the perception it was off, and I got to go back and check my data. But he's turning the ball over a lot. And this Cowboys team, I think, is talented enough to win some games and certainly maybe win a playoff game. But, you know, a week ago we were talking about them, not us, but, you know, the general public as, wow, they got to be the best team in the NFC. And I'm, like, sitting here thinking, like, I learned no more about the NFC from yesterday than I knew coming into it. Like, in fact, I probably learned less about the NFC because, again, I think the Eagles are the best team, and I'm almost certain that the Vikings are an elite team. I don't know about the Cowboys. I think this Sunday we're going to find out a lot about the Buccaneers. If they come out flat again, then we're like, all right, well, nothing's really been learned this entire season. But if they come out and handle the Browns, all of a sudden you have to sit there and say, like, oops, if you're an NFC team, it's like, well, we lost our chance. That's our opportunity. You know, we could have, you know, watched the Buccaneers kind of sink, have their ship sink. But they hung around. They won some close games. And, you know, now they may look like the best team in the NFC in a couple weeks. I don't know, John. You're wiser than me, i.e. tad bit older.
Well, I'm just older.
Yes.
Yeah, just older.
More experienced.
Yeah, I like that better.
Yeah, there you go. More experienced on your behalf. So you must know. Am I crazy here? Are we just like, we have no earthly idea what I feel like the NFC has gotten more muddied each and every week that we've gone on.
Oh, sure. I mean, I think a lot of people now think, and I'm one of them, that the San Francisco 49ers are the best team in the NFC, but they're 6-4, and they have Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback, a good, not great quarterback. So how confident can you be in that team, who I think on both sides of the ball are really deep and talented? But, yeah, I think the thing with Tampa Bay, they were sitting at 3-5, and the Rams had an opportunity to beat them and maybe keep their season alive. Mm-hmm. Instead, Brady goes down the field twice. Once, yeah. The first time, of course, they drop a certain touchdown pass, and he has to go have a game-tying drive for a second time, and he does it, and then, you know, they win. So I think that when you look at all of that, that, yeah, you kind of kept Tampa Bay alive, and they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to have a home playoff game, whether it's against the Giants or Dallas or whoever, and good luck going into Tampa against Brady in a playoff game, even though you may have the better squad. But, yeah, I think Dallas, when you look at them, again, two interceptions by Dak Prescott. He's kind of regressed every year in terms of taking care of the football. His rookie year, he never turned the thing over. And it seems like getting worse.
He set that right. He broke Brady's record for consecutive passes without you know, to start his career without throwing an interception. And that was,
and
that really, you know, kind of, maybe this was just from Skip Bayless quite a bit, but it kind of started the, Dak Prescott, he has this, he has it, you know, there's, you know, the it factor with him. And it's like, okay, he's got to kind of gotten a lot of slack because he's been injured at times. But to your point, like, when are we going to see him elevate to a different level? Because right now he seems like just a pretty good quarterback, which is fine, but certainly not what we've been sold.
Well, which is all you're going to see in the NFC playoffs other than Brady, right?
Yeah.
You're going to see a lot of quarterbacks that, you know, Garoppolo actually has the second most playoff wins of these teams in contention in the NFC. You know, Brady obviously has 35 career playoff wins, which is insane. Garoppolo has 4. He's next. And then there's a bunch of guys, only a few with 1, and then a bunch that have never even made the playoffs. I mean, Dak Prescott's in his 7th season. He's 1-3 in the postseason. Like, he hasn't even been as good as Tony Romo in terms of playoff success. And that's saying quite a bit. So I think that there's a lot of question marks still with Dallas. Their defense is excellent. As far as the Giants, they need a quarterback. I mean, that's really obvious. I mean, I think they are building a nice roster. They're well coached, all of that stuff. And they were winning a lot of close games. And now they're starting to lose some close games. And I think they obviously need to elevate at the quarterback position before they can really be considered any kind of serious contender.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I thought Daniel Jones deserved a chance to kind of once and for all kind of show what he can do in this regime. I think they're a much better situation coaching and moving forward. But, you know, we've been talking about it all season as they started 7-1. Are they just a little bit ahead of their development? And I think we both kind of felt that was the case. And over the last few weeks, we've kind of seen them. And it's not like they haven't been competitive. I mean, this isn't a Pittsburgh Steelers situation of a few years ago where they got up to 10-0 and none of us, I don't think anyone, I don't even think Steelers fans, if you know, give them a little truth serum, thought that team was a good 10-0 team. You know, they clearly, I think they lost like, what, 5 of the last 6 to end the season. You know, this team, the Giants, you can see a lot of positives. You just, you kind of figure you know what you have in Daniel Jones, and you might have to go out and upgrade that position. The only problem is, John, it's like, where are you going to go? And that's the big problem or in the NFL. It's like, oh, this is great. They're setting up to have a great team moving forward. But if they don't get the quarterback, it's going to be all for naught. They're going to have great defense. They're going to be kind of like the Patriots. And that's not saying Mac isn't developing. It's, we've seen his limitations at times, and you can sit there and say, wow, you know, this Patriots has this, they have this, but the stark difference in quarterback play a la Brady versus, you know, young, developing quarterback, not every team's going to hit that out of the park, and you know, if you're the Giants, you got to make sure that you do that, because I do think they have a really good team to compete. So, all right, there are other games. I mean, it is Friday, so it means we still have a whole Sunday ahead of us, so let's dive into this week's picks. I was 2-1 yesterday. Obviously, I picked the Patriots, and that was my lone loss. So that was unfortunate. But like I said, some positives out of that, and I can live with that. So let's move on to Sunday, and we will start with the Chicago Bears taking on the Mike White New York Jets. That's right, Zach Wilson taking a back seat, coincidentally against, you know, a player the Jets decided to pass over. And right now, in the ever-evolving debate about who is the best quarterback from 2021, right now Justin Fields seems to have the leg up, but we'll see what happens in a couple weeks. I got the Bears winning this game. I think the Bears are entertaining. I don't think they're a good team. I just think that they're capable of doing some nice things, and Justin Fields has been playing some pretty decent football. I think the Jets are a little bit lost. I think maybe they might play better with Mike White because you can't get much worse than Zach Wilson. But I think this team has other issues outside of just quarterback. So give me the Bears on the road in this one.
Do you get Mike White of 4 touchdown passes or Mike White of 4 interceptions?
Ooh,
you
know, I mean, that's what you the big got question. A couple of
that's what you got, right? Last year, you had like one game of each. It's like, talk about trick or treat. I'll go with the Jets. Their defense is so good. And I think Justin Fields is dealing with a real bad shoulder, and he's going to play through it because that's the way he is. I mean, I love that young guy. I just think he's got all of the intangibles that you want in a quarterback. I mean, he went up to the defense after, I believe, the last game and apologized to every guy on defense that the offense let down the defense. And his team scored 24 points. Yeah. It wasn't as if, you know, he scored 3 points. Meanwhile, Zach Wilson puts up 3 points and goes, nah, I'm not really that, you know, I'm not going to apologize.
Well, and that's, I mean, that's the great thing about Fields. He just needs to continue to put it all together on the football field. And you have yourselves a pretty, pretty great quarterback in the making. And
finally, they've never had one. They've never had one of those. Like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Rex Grossman led them to a Super Bowl.
That's true. Okay. So did Jim McMahon. And McMahon was darn good, but I mean, you know, that's
at least he shares the last name with Vince McMahon. And at least I can
there
give
you go.
Some sort of outside credit for that. Oh, but
I'm sure they're probably buddies. I think they have a similar mentality. But I'll go with the Jets on Sunday.
All right, next we have Houston at Miami. The Dolphins. You know, their offense is top notch, and you know, we all know what their record is with Tua starting and finishing games, and I think it's going to continue like that. So give me the Dolphins at home.
Yeah, this should be a layup for the Dolphins, because then after that, the schedule does get tougher. You know, you got the Patriots again. You've got the Jets again. You got Buffalo again within the division. So they've got to take care of business here if they have hopes of making the playoffs. It should be a layup for the Dolphins.
Next, we have the Bucs heading to Cleveland in the last game before the arrival of Deshaun Watson. I do think the Buccaneers will benefit from the time off, and I mean, maybe there's just a lot of hope that they don't come out flat again, but I think they figured out some things. They still need to work at it, but I like what they're going to bring to the table against Cleveland, and I think a well-rested Bucs offense will be just fine. So give me Tampa Bay.
Yeah, tweak those injuries a little bit so you feel a little bit better out there on the football field. You got the two-game winning streak. I like Tampa in this game.
Yeah, and hey, look, Julio Jones is relatively healthy, so that's always a positive thing, because when he gets going, it's nice to see. It's just a matter of, well, he doesn't really get going that often. That's the problem. next, and perhaps and by far the most painful game that I've had to pick today or this weekend, Denver at Carolina. Yeah. I went with Denver because I think if you're going to tail of the tape, by far their defense is the best unit on the field from either team. Neither offenses are good, but Carolina's more of a mess than Denver. So give me the Broncos.
Carolina's going back to Sam Darnold. They just get this rotating carousel of really bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, they're all like the same quarterback, too. It's not like, you know what I mean?
Right. I mean, I'm just waiting for Josh Rosen.
That's pretty much it. That's perfect. They're missing.
There were five quarterbacks drafted in the first round in 2018, and they have two of the guys who haven't produced. The two that have produced are in Buffalo and Baltimore right now. And Josh Rosen makes, you know, Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield look like Joe Montana. I mean, he's been on more teams than any quarterback I can remember over the last 5 years. But yeah, I'm going to go with Denver here, because you're right. I think when you have two teams like this, just pick the team with the best single unit, and Denver's defense has been outstanding. If Denver could just have hit 20 points,
if only
in every
they had
one
a
of their
quarterback,
games,
John.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if they had scored 20 points in games, they'd be like 9-1 right now. I mean, they'd be like maybe the best team in the AFC. They can't even do that, but I'll go with them because of the defense. Doesn't this look like a 12-9 game? Like, at some point.
Yeah, maybe we'll get some scoregami number, you know, 7-4 or something like that. Mm. I don't know.
A weird score, 7-5, field goal and a safety.
Yeah, there we go. I was thinking two safeties, but, you know.
Yeah, that would be apropos.
Yeah, there we go. That seems right. So next, Baltimore at Jacksonville. You know, Baltimore very quietly has won, I think, four of their last five. Again, it's still in that AFC where it's like, yeah, it's impressive, but, you know, at the same time, you know, they're flawed just like every other team. I like them against Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville is a team that, I don't know, maybe they are cursed. Maybe they'll never pull it all together, and you know, they're just going to go through these top-notch quarterbacks, and they're going to progress relatively fine, but certainly not to the level that it needs to get them above. But I don't know. Jacksonville's certainly capable of winning any game if they play up to their potential, but I don't think they're going to do it in this one. Baltimore by, you know, a decent amount.
I sense an upset. I don't know why. Baltimore's been starting to win games, but not look impressive. They really struggled last week. It was 3-3 right until the middle of the fourth quarter, and they finally pulled it off. But I'm going to call for Jacksonville in the upset. That's my upset special of the week.
Ooh, there you go. Cincinnati at Tennessee. This is a tough one because I think both of these teams are pretty good. They have – no, I think Joe Mixon's availability is certainly a could be a potential issue for the Bengals. But I did go with the Bengals here, but I'm not very confident because – I mean, I think both of these teams are on a fairly even level. You know what I mean? Just in terms of like how good they are and what their potential is, both this season and kind of week to week. And I think the Bengals. I'll give the Bengals the edge because they have the better quarterback.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that because of the quarterback. And you look at two teams that bounced back from 0-2 starts, right? Tennessee's won 7 of their last 8. Cincinnati's won 6 out of their last 8. So they're fairly hot coming into this. When you have a matchup like this, give me the better quarterback. I'll take Cincinnati.
Next, we have the Commanders hosting the Falcons. And I like the Commanders here again. I mean, this is another team that have quietly won, I believe, 5 of 6. So I don't think they're necessarily a threat in the NFC. But against a team like Atlanta at home, I like them to continue that good play. So give me the Commanders.
Give Ron Rivera a ton of credit, right? I mean, they're 6-5, playing in a tough division. He went from Carson Wentz to Tyler Haneke. I mean, you know, whatever. That's not exactly Montana the Young at quarterback. And he's also got an owner that everybody in the league wants out. There's a lot of chaos there in Washington. He's kind of kept the ship, you know, he's kept the team focused. So, yeah, I'll go Washington in this matchup. Although Atlanta's always involved in these games with a field goal game way. And they play in more crazy games than anyone. Yeah, no, well-coached team, I think. You know, Arthur Smith Jr. is doing a nice job in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. And like I said, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all. This is kind of a coin flip game, in my opinion. But next we have the Chargers at Arizona. I have no idea what's happening with Arizona's quarterback situation, and it doesn't really matter to me. I like the Chargers in this one, although they're going to make it more difficult on themselves than what it should be.
They always do, don't
right?
they?
Yeah, I mean, it's just... They can't help themselves. This should be a game the Chargers should go out and just roll. This is the game that they should do that. And what's going to happen? Well, it's going to be kind of scrappy there in the late in the third and early fourth quarter. And they'll eventually pull it out, but you're going to come away of it saying, like, yeah, they look pretty good here, but there are some questionable coaching decisions, yada, yada. You know, pretty much the MO for the Chargers. So I pick the Chargers, but I say it knowing that it's just going to be a non-awe-inspiring performance.
Yeah, they'll be up 17-3 late in the second quarter, and Arizona scores a touchdown, and then get another touchdown in the third quarter, and all of a sudden it's 17-17 heading into the fourth quarter, and you scratch your head and go, why? The countdown has begun. Sean Payton may be coaching the Chargers next year. I think if he has his choice of places to go, he goes where there's an elite quarterback already established in Justin Herbert. I think that would be an interesting situation. I'll pick the Chargers here because I picked them to make the playoffs, and they have to win this type of game to qualify.
Next, we have the Vegas Raiders heading to Seattle. Seattle, obviously, just like the Bucks, coming back from Germany, so they've been on the bye last week. I like Seattle to kind of bounce back. you know, they looked not so much the elite team against the Buccaneers, but for a lot of reasons, you know, going overseas, playing up against a warming, heating up Buccaneers team, that makes sense. Against the Raiders, I think they kind of bounce back and have a pretty solid game. So give me Seattle. Maybe Geno cooks a bit against this bad Raiders defense.
Yeah, someone's going to be cooking, right? It is Thanksgiving weekend. I'm going to go with the Raiders. I think that they maybe found something in that comeback win at Denver last week. Maybe they carry that momentum into Seattle. So I'll take the Raiders in a mild upset.
Next, San Francisco hosts New Orleans. Pretty straightforward. I like the 49ers in this one. Each week, the Christian McCaffrey trade is looking better and better for this team, and I think they're gearing up for a nice run here late in the season into the playoffs. So give me the 49ers.
Right with you.
Perfect. And last but not least.
That was simple, right?
I know, right? The matchup that everyone thought should have happened in 2018, but the Kansas City Chiefs got screwed, John. They got screwed by scoring 0 points in the first half and putting themselves behind the eight ball against the Patriots, something you should never, ever do. However, we are going to get the Rams at Chiefs matchup this week. It's just not what we're going to expect. And not only are you not getting Jared Goff, you're not getting Matt Stafford either. The guy who, he may call it a career at the end of this. Two concussions in a matter of 3 weeks. You know, he's never been the healthiest guy. He's in his mid-30s. He might ultimately call it a career. I wouldn't be surprised, let's put it that way. I'm not suggesting that's kind of where everything's going. But, I like Kansas City. The Rams just aren't a good team this year. They're injured. I don't even know who's starting at quarterback for them this week. Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City should roll here, though they had an emotional win Sunday night in L.A. against the Chargers. Now they're home. But Kansas City is a pretty consistent team like that. Yeah, they don't really put out stinkers, right? I mean, even when they lose, it seems like it's a close game. They're scoring points. Maybe they give up a late touchdown. So they're pretty consistent in being competitive every week. So I'll go with Kansas City. And with the Rams, it's so strange, Ian, because, you know, they're like a basketball team. They were built to win now. They don't even own their own first pick. So if you're a Lions fan, you're rooting for Kansas City in this game because the Lions own the Rams' first-round pick.
Well, and that's the discussion we had, and thankfully they did win that Super Bowl, and that's how tight of a margin it was, because it's like we're all sitting there the last couple of years saying, like, what are the Rams doing? And then you have, you know, of course, you have the fantasy football talking heads getting up on saying, oh, no, this is how you build teams. And it's like anyone who sit here and watched football for the, you know, ever – realizes, like, look, the bubble is gonna burst very soon. Like, and they were fortunate to be able to put it all together last year, and there were many instances where it almost was for naught. I mean, let's not forget just that first divisional round game against the Buccaneers where they blew that 27-3 lead. So, you know, it's good for the Rams for winning, but I don't see too many great seasons ahead of them in the near future just because, well, how are they going to repair this team? I just don't know. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. I know those of us who didn't actually eat turkey had the best Thanksgiving. But I do hope that everyone, even those turkey eaters out there, did enjoy their Thanksgiving. And I hope you all enjoy this weekend. And hopefully we get as many competitive games as we did Sunday as we did on Thursday. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And we will see you on Monday.